Welcome to the TNT Hour. This is your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'm happy to be with you on this July the 16th, Wednesday afternoon, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central, 2 Mountain, and we are once again going to discuss the news that you do not hear on mainstream. Now, I'm going to try to connect some dots together. I really haven't prepared a script like they do on the mainstream. They have strict orders on mainstream media to follow a pattern or a program, and we've spoken about that on past shows. I also speak about mind control and propaganda on my Evident Footprints show. And we're just addressing the truth as it is, just facing it so that we can make a decision individually and then collectively that we are not going to buy into all the crap that they call news. In fact, much of it is the same, same old, same old. We could call our news the olds. In a sense, if we want to follow what they do, but in effect, what we are going to do is tell you about some things that you absolutely are not hearing on the mainstream media whatsoever. Now, you're hearing snippets of what is going on in some of the banks. We had recently a bank in New York actually. Maybe a bank is the wrong word because it's one of the trading companies, Bear Stearns, that had a $230 billion cash infusion supposedly coming from Arab oil sheikhs. And in other words, where did the money go? You have to ask that question. Why are these investment firms in these positions to where they have to insert or inject cash into their coffers to keep from crashing, to keep from going under? They take money from people and they borrow the money. They speculate with the money in the hope that they're going to make profit and thus make profit for you, the investor. Now, when you invest money into these companies, you're doing so under the belief, and I'll use the word belief there, because we've talked about that word belief also. You take your money and you put it into an investment vehicle, and this vehicle is the means through which your money is going to travel, thus producing a profit. It may be startup capital, it may be common stock, it may be all the various tools and the schemes that the Securities Exchange Commission allows to occur, the different ways your money can be managed. It can be taken into offshore accounts, something that you're totally oblivious to in terms of what you're being told. You know, as far as you know, your money is in this account, and these people are putting your money into a project that's going to produce a return on your investment or a dividend. Now, when the time comes to pay the dividend, which is usually quarterly or semi-annually or annually, depending on what particular program you have your money invested into, you will find that some quarters or these pay periods where you should expect to see a return, there is no money. If the stock is losing its value, you will not see a return. Now, this is a very basic example of what happens when you invest in any kind of stock, in any kind of company or any kind of product that is sold to the public. The problem that we have and the problem that Bear Stearns had is that much of the money is hypothecated. It's not actual money. First of all, the Federal Reserve is making money out of thin air. They're literally creating money out of thin air that has no value. And so they assign a value to this. And how they do this is very secretive. Often infrastructure of of towns and cities are sold, or the interest in a company is sold, and you're not told about this. Much of what has been going on has been very secret because it's likely illegal. And of course, the Security Exchange Commission knows about this. They know about these practices. Occasionally, they will bring someone down. Someone has to take a fall to make it appear on the outside that they're doing their job, when in reality, they're as much playing a role in this whole obfuscation scheme. Sometimes it's very much like a Ponzi scheme, like those that Charles Ponzi in the 1920s perpetrated upon investors, where they were buying what were called postal stamps. And people could invest in these postal stamps, and they would return more money than they were actually worth. They could be given to people overseas. In other words, you invest in postal stamps, you put out the money, these stamps are then given to the people overseas, and they pay more money for the stamps, and then you make a return on this money. Well, in actuality, this was not occurring. There were stamps. Ponzi did have stamps, but when it came down to brass tacks, this guy was making himself a millionaire and bankrupting many other people, or just stealing their investment capital, not necessarily bankrupting them. Now, Ponzi was prosecuted. I think he was doing this in New Jersey, New York, and Massachusetts, and he ended up moving his operation to Florida, where, again, he was arrested. So this became known as a Ponzi scheme. Well, much of the stock market is undergoing the same type of manipulation as Ponzi. Do you think such a successful, fruitful venture would be ignored by those in the business? In fact, Ponzi, in a sense, was the founder of the Securities Exchange Commission. His very activities spawned the stock market. Very interesting. So one would have to ask, who was he operating for? Was he the main guy? This was an Italian immigrant that did this. So when you look at the stock market, look to its beginnings. I don't think it's changed. I think even though they have regulations and they'll bring someone down occasionally, look at the banking scandals, BCCI. The overseas money laundering apparatus that basically caused many, many people to lose billions and billions of dollars. Then we had the Silverado savings scandal in Denver, and that was one of the Bush sons was involved in that. I believe it was Neil Bush. Over $100 billion lost, and where was the justice in this? It was just swept under the rug. You have the Madison Guarantee Bank in Little Rock, Arkansas. Bill Clinton ran that scandal with Webb Hubble. And that was a money laundering vehicle to hide drug profits coming in from Mena, Arkansas. And they were giving loans out to people indiscriminately, but primarily it was used to finance the Clintons' political campaigns. And I say the Clintons, plural, because they use the same techniques to further the career of Hillary Clinton just as much as Bill Clinton. So you have money laundering going on in these banks, and of course these banks have assets. They're holding companies. And this money is put into other places where it earns a bigger dividend. There are no books kept. In fact, people who were doing the accounting for these banks were found murdered. People that ran the finance division of these campaigns, you know, the campaign finance managers of many of Clinton's campaigns were murdered. Who was doing these murders? Who was ordering these murders? When you have several hundred people in a list, and I say several hundred because the list, the last time I looked, was up to 255, but there could be as many as 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000 more people not even heard about, not known behind the scenes that are involved. And this is of an international scope, because if the money is going offshore into secret accounts, tax-free, off the books, then there's quite a bit of money laundering going around where they take illegal dollars and pass them into some kind of vehicle that makes them seem, on the surface, to be now legitimate. And so they launder the dirt. They launder the dirty money, which is made out of thin air, turning it into some kind of tangible assets, real estate, a stock in a company, ownership of companies, the intentional criminal impoverishment through the legal system of people who own companies or people who are going through divorces. It affects everyone, because we have a totally corrupt Justice Department that is also involved in this money laundering. This is why nothing is being done about these scandals. Now, for the past 2 years, I and a few other journalists, Christopher Story in England with worldreports.org, Global Analysis, Edward Harrell Publishing, he's got many, many publications on basically financial intelligence. He's sort of a guru as to what is going on in the world of finance, although he's not an intelligence agent. He doesn't work for the CIA or the MI6 or MI5 or Mossad or the former KGB, any of the intelligence agencies, but he has had to, because of the exposure of all the corruption going on in so-called corporate finance and so-called government involvement or regulation of corporate finance, that they're one and the same. That the criminals are in the governments, the criminals are those posing as your world leaders, politicians included, at the highest levels, and these people are now being caught, they're being found out. Why? There are a lot more of us than there are of them. And when they start stealing your money, which is what is going on, trust me, that is what is going on, they have to create some kind of scenario, single someone out, take out the fall guy, so to speak. And when we had this Bear Stearns scandal, just a matter of weeks before that, you may have remembered, if you were listening to the TNT Hour, I talked about the obfuscation of what is really behind this derivatives hedge fund scandal that's going on, because this is speculative money that is kept on double or triple books, if they keep books at all. We're talking about data transfers of trillions of dollars, and in a tenth of a second, a bank can make billions in interest just because they have possession of the money. And they're facilitating this laundering scheme. Now, do they see their money? Do they get their money? I would say likely not in most cases, although there are payoffs made to certain key individuals. And those individuals within this system of money laundering who voice their discontent with the fact that they're not being paid what they were promised are taken out. According to Christopher Story, early this year and at the end of 2007, there were some 3,000 or more people taken out. When I say taken out, they were murdered. They were removed from their position. They knew something. They may have gone to authorities seeking justice, seeking an investigation. They were whistleblowers. They were people who could compromise this organized crime. So what did the organized criminals do? They removed them. That's what's going on. Now, those of you in California that know of the IndyBank scandal, this is, or I should say the IndyMac bank scandal. IndyMac, I'm told, is one of the major participants in mortgage loans. And we are led to believe that, and this is where the mainstream media comes in, they tell you that, Well, these loans were given to people who could not afford them. People could not make their loan payments. This is what we're told. This is not necessarily the case. In fact, most people who own a house or are buying a house through the usury credit system through and supported by this fiat money system, money out of thin air, on a usury credit system that's charging you interest, you're paying above and beyond at the conclusion of a 30-year mortgage, you're paying an additional 200% on top of what was created out of thin air. You're paying $300,000 for a $100,000 house. Well, in 1985, it was almost impossible anywhere in Los Angeles County and the surrounding counties to find a house valued any less than $250,000. Personally, I went and looked at a one-room shack that would sell for less than $50,000 anywhere else in the country within reason. We're talking about a house that you might not even see in the average neighborhood. There was nothing special about this house. But just because it was in La Crescenta, it was worth $250,000. $250,000 for a house that you'd probably have difficulty selling for $40,000 in the Midwest or in a small eastern town. And if this were out in the country, it would even be less valuable. So are you paying for the privilege of being in that area? You know, you can go anywhere and just stand there for free until someone arrests you for loitering. But to own a house and to pay $250,000. So by the time you're paying for this $250,000 house, which is only worth in most markets $40,000 to $50,000, now you are going to be paying $750,000. You're going to pay $750,000 for a house worth about $40,000. That's the usury system that we are under. Now, they're hypothecating funds on the basis of these loans, and so they give this value, this $750,000 value of the securities agreement that you signed when you sign a loan. When you sign a loan and your name is on this mortgage, you are indebted to fulfill that contract, or to find someone else. This is why people sell their houses. They can't afford the payments, or they either come to the realization that this house is going to cost them $750,000, or they fall into some sort of hardship where they cannot make the payments. In the Midwest, $250,000 will buy you a palace, not a one-room shack. I've seen in some temperate climate areas, for example, in Florida, they use very little insulation against the cold weather because of the constant warm weather, and the house has to breathe in a different way. But they use, in many ways, inferior construction techniques in building a house. And yet the real estate and the price of the houses in Florida is astronomical. Again, it's like what you find in major upscale metropolitan areas in California or in any other major city. The number of people and the scarcity of housing drives the price up. Does it really make the house more valuable? Not really. But if someone is willing to pay that and they can establish a pattern of people willing to pay that, then somehow it sustains itself. And the worst thing that can happen is that the bank or the holding company, the loan company, someone who provided the credit can go back in, seize the property, which is under foreclosure. They reclaim once they get a judgment. And they take back the property and start the process over from the beginning. What did they lose? Nothing. They made everything out of thin air. And it used to be that banks loaning the money had to keep 10% of the assets. This is under Federal Reserve rules, they have to keep 10% of all assets loaned out as ready cash. So if you have $100,000 of your money in the bank, technically the bank only needs to keep $10,000 of your money. This is what they do. Really, you're under the understanding that they have the whole $100,000 in your bank account, and that you could go there and withdraw $100,000. But on paper, on their loans, they have $10,000 in cash, and they're investing the other $90,000, really without your knowledge, without your approval. In return, what do? They give you 1.25%, 1.75% per annum for keeping that money there. So if you have $100,000, you're going to make let's say it's 1.75%, just to be nice. You're going to make $1,750 of interest, and they tax you on that interest. You're taxed on that interest even though the money is not there. It's created out of thin air, and they're taking it from you, but they take something from you which disempowers your ability to grow financially. They are growing. Even if it's only on paper, they are growing and you are shrinking. We all are, those of us under that system. Those of you who rent, if your landlord is not insane, he's making some kind of profit or at least meeting the expenditure of maintaining the loan through which he acquired the property he is renting to you. He may have payments of $500 a month, and you may be paying $750 a month for rent. So he's increasing his worth on a monthly basis by 50%. What he does with that money, then he should be taxed on that money. But what we're finding now in these loan companies and these mortgage companies and these banks is that the money laundering going on is putting the money into tax-free shelters, tax-free programs, tax-free vehicles, which are that, tax-free. So they're enriching themselves even more. They're not paying the tax, when in reality, the original tax established under the authority of the United States government and the U.S. Treasury, not the Federal Reserve, the U.S. Treasury, was to tax corporations. Corporations. Not your income. Your income was not to be taxed. You're getting a smaller piece of the pie, and what the corporations did is told us that we, through our politicians, that we were the ones that were going to pay their taxes. And we're taxed on the goods we buy from the corporations and the services we acquire from the corporations. And we're taxed on a federal level, on a state level, and a local level. County, usually. And even city. So we have four taxes through the government, not to mention the hidden taxes on your phone bill and the hidden taxes on your gas bill or your water bill. Again, we're taxed. Tax, 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 tax. We're paying for everything. And on top of that, you're paying all of this usury tax out of thin air. There is no way in hell that any of us can keep our head above water with this kind of system. It is designed to fail. There is absolutely no way. Now, add to that the fact that these corporations, mega corporations and what have become monopolies in the automotive industry, in the oil industry, in the pharmaceutical company industry, industry, and in the food industry, in the clothing industry, even in the educational system, we have these monopolies that are taking the jobs out of our country. They're taking them overseas. And because they're going overseas with this, they're not paying taxes, and they're bringing their products or their services back into the country, charging us the same or more for what is now costing them less to produce. So they're making even more money, and because now the company is offshore, they're not paying the taxes. We are paying the taxes. How can you expect a bank, a mortgage company, or an investment firm that is acting totally out of thin air to really exist or to survive? This is the system upon which the American dream is built. Dream is a good word for it, because usually what you dream is an illusion. So the American dream, which has been portrayed to us as something to be admired, something to be sought after, is a furtherance of the corrupt obfuscation of how the planet operates. Because this is going on all over the planet. It's not just here in the United States. It's more recently, really since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, when it became etched in stone, so to speak. We have fallen into bad times, and they're going to get worse. Now, the IndyMac Bank has to be taken over by the federal government. Why? Federal government and the Federal Reserve, which is not federal at all, it's just a name, it's a foreign entity, had to have known what was going on. So they have to have a fall guy. But there's a lot more behind it. You know, it's funny that this is a Southern California company. Many of the international intel operatives that are working in the real estate markets, and yes, I said international, are being found out to some extent, or they've run out of their ability to produce these hypothecated funds. You see, we have a world agreement now called Basel II, which is to redirect all the world's finances behind a gold system. Gold will be the collateral, giving money its value. And there are those in the criminal element, and I stress, many of these are in government operating as the heads of agencies that are supposed to be monitoring this stuff, or the lawmakers in Congress and the Senate, or the judiciary that's supposed to be interpreting the law upon being notified by law enforcement that the laws are being violated. It's upside down. All of these entities that are supposed to be working in your and my and our behalf, managing the country's affairs so that the country prospers and moves forward, it's fallen into the hands of organized crime. It's fallen into the hands of criminals who are laundering the money, and they're getting caught because they're not complying with this Basel II agreement. And that agreement required us in December, by December 1st of 2007, to comply with the Basel II agreement. Now, we're going to take a short pause here for the cause, and we'll be back with the TNT Hour. Stay tuned.
a monthly 24-page newspaper in its ninth year of addressing issues that affect all freedom-loving Americans, is one of the few remaining newspapers courageous enough to print the truth. Concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you? Subscribe today. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues, the Idaho Observer prints what you need to know to be a fully informed American. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307.
HempUSA.org is now offering free shipping worldwide to better serve our customers. Our goal is to get these fine hemp products to you in the least amount of time so you can enjoy what the powder seeds and oil can do for you. HempUSA.org has a warning that the U.S. food supplies are dangerously low, and we urge you to protect your family with hemp storable foods today. Tomorrow may be too late. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. This incredible food source is loaded with enzymes so your body can digest the food you eat, and it creates an alkaline environment where cancer can't grow and parasites cannot live, and brings funguses, viruses, and bacterial levels down and to a halt. Try our powder seeds and oil today. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. If the body has the proper nutrition, it will heal itself. Ask yourself, why does our government not allow this crop to grow in the U.S.? This product is also great for pets and animals. Call 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org today.
And we're back with the second half of the Wednesday TNT Hour. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and just a reminder, this show is hosted on Monday, same time, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, and you know the times in between. You folks in the middle of the country know how to figure that out, by none other than co-founder of BBS Radio, Mr. Donald Newsom. And I've listened to his show. I've even called in. You're welcome to call into this show, by the way. Most people don't call into mainstream news, but if you know something important that you want to share, anything you're hearing resonates with you, or you have a question you want to ask, by all means, feel free to call in. Now, we've been discussing the American dream and the apparent collapse of our economic system here in the United States. Now, I don't mean to lead anyone down a path of fear. This could be a blessing in disguise, because something has to shake all of this dead matter out of the cobweb, so to speak. And we're talking about corruption, and we're talking about Federal Reserve notes. Federal Reserve notes are backed by nothing. And there are all kinds of secret agreements going on behind the scenes, giving up our infrastructure, bridges, roads, cities, buildings, businesses, lakes, rivers, streams, even access to our oceans and our ports. All of this is occurring through this corruption. Organized crime working together to help organize crime. And there are no boundaries. And that's the whole intention behind the New World Order, is to oppress the people of the world, stealing all of their wealth, making them total slaves. That's basically what this is. If you don't feel like you're a slave after having worked for a particular company or a particular organization or even government for most of or part of your life, then you're not in tune to what's going on. These things don't happen by accident. They happen by design. Now, a new story, and this is not a pun, written by author, journalist Christopher Story, whom I referred to at the top of the first half of today's show, was released. Christopher Story has written about what is going on and how this relates to history. Now, there is a document which was discovered in the early 1950s, or around 1950, called the Madrid Circular, and it was the German plan, the Nazi plan, to take over the United States and eventually the world through the obfuscation of what really happened at the end of World War II. We're told that these criminals that were part of the Nazi Party were arrested and then hung at Nuremberg, or Flossenbürg was part of that was another area where there were trials going on, and supposedly Admiral Wilhelm Canaris was hung in the nude at Flossenbürg. That's the story we were told. That was the spin. Canaris was the head of what was called the Abwehr, or the DVD, the Deutsche Verteidigungsdienst, which was the underground SS, the secret police, the secret intelligence agency that ran everything related to the Nazis' involvement in World War II, went underground, and they were secreted first in Madrid, Spain, where this Madrid Circular came out, and then they were brought to the United States, and they were primarily located in Oklahoma City, which was the whole reason, or the majority of the reason, behind the Oklahoma City bombing. The finance offices of the J.P. Murrah Federal Building were bombed. And in the story, we're told Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols were the primary conspirators behind that. They were the fall guys. And it's even been alluded that that Terry Nichols was not executed, that he was still breathing after he supposedly received this fatal injection, and that he was probably secreted off somewhere to spend the rest of his days with some small fortune for the role he played. Why did they bomb the building? Who bombed the building? Well, these secret intelligence agencies, the black ops groups behind all this financial theft, and we're talking the theft of trillions of dollars through the stock markets, through corporations, through the dismantling of banks and mortgage companies, holding companies, insurance companies, and now moving into the stock markets, because you cannot rip the heart out of an animal and expect it to live forever. And slowly the oxygen gets cut off to the brain, and for all intents and purposes, the animal dies. This has to happen because they're destroying our country if we allow it to be destroyed. All we have to do is perceive or intuit another solution. Come up with another type of financial system that replaces the one that they're domineering us with. And for a lot of people, that's hard to imagine. Well, how am I going to keep my house? Well, we've got to band together. We've got to awaken each other to the fact that this is going on, first of all. We have to admit that this is going on. It's been going on, as I mentioned, since World War II. Now, these Nazis came to the United States, and they became part of our intelligence agency, so that it became a money laundering vehicle for international crime. And drugs plays a big role in this, and the theft of all the gold deposits that used to back currencies. No one asked, when they confiscated the gold that backed these currencies, where did the gold go? Who took it, and where is it? And how is it that all these fiat dollars are being levied against assets, tangible assets? How is this occurring? Why doesn't the government do anything about it? Well, the government is the problem, because the government posing as your leaders, sworn to the Constitution and all these oaths that they take, including the justices in the Justice Department, all the way down to the local level, all these people are involved in these schemes. This is why nothing is being done about it, because They're creating laws to shut us up, to stop us from doing what is right, while they do what is wrong. They violate their own laws they create. And this is just nothing more than an intelligence scheme, an intelligence plan that we know after World War II was conducted by the Nazis and was very much alive in Oklahoma City. Now, Canaris himself was located for a time in Oklahoma City. In an article I wrote in the Idaho Observer, you heard an ad for the Idaho Observer during our break, and I encourage anyone that wants to read about the truth to subscribe to that paper. They support BBS Radio in the sense that they make my show, Evident Footprints, available. I write for the Observer, and I'm researching the truth, and I'm exposing the truth, and they're printing it. So we need to support vehicles like the Idaho Observer. In 2007, in January of 2007, I came out with a story about Wantagate, and I'm actually going to have to modify the crux of the story, because many of the things that I thought in my gut, I had a gut feeling that there were things going on that weren't ringing true, or the pieces weren't adding together, because I'm pretty good at cross-referencing facts and connecting the dots, and when the dot or the string connecting the dots is not the right color, there's a problem. And I'll be talking about that more. I'm working on a piece which is coming to the conclusion of what Wantagate was really about. But that article exposed this type of corruption. And in that article, I wrote that Admiral Wilhelm Canaris was teaching law of all things. This is a guy working for the intelligence agency. He had a job at Oklahoma Baptist University in Shawnee, Oklahoma. I even published his address in Shawnee, Oklahoma, a couple of blocks away from the university. This is a man who was supposedly hung at the conclusion of World War II, running the underground Abwehr, the SS, the Nazi Secret Service, running that from within the United States. And the Bush family is part of this. And obviously, if Cheney is running the country, do you really think W is running the country? Cheney's running the country for Halliburton. And you have all these conglomerates, these corporate giants, the Carlyle Group. You have Halliburton just sucking up all of the life force of our industrialized economy, and now our technological economy is being sucked up by them as well. And they've moved into the educational system, dictating what will be taught, and you wonder why a kid at McDonald's can't make change for $5. They can't even make change for a dollar. They don't have basic arithmetic skills. They don't have basic language skills. You see people on the internet chatting or writing emails to each other. I get emails from grown-ups that have no capital letters, no periods, and no commas, no quotation marks. Plurals are now apostrophe S, and possessive nouns are now just S added to the end of a word. They've done everything they can to disassociate us from what is really going on and what is really happening, and it's all an illusion, and the illusion just keeps morphing into another illusion. So the finance system, the financial system, the economic system is nothing more than an illusion. We know that just on the basis of what I've told you. And yet there are tangible ways to corrupt even an illusion. To make the illusion of the illusion of the illusion be something other than what it seems. This is how deep the mind control is in this country. Now, the long-range plan described in the Madrid Circular was based on a basic statement, a premise. Für uns ist der Krieg niemals vorbei. For us, the war has never ended. And in a book separate from the Madrid Circular, T.H. Teetons, in 1953, wrote Germany Plots with the Kremlin. And he referred to the Madrid Circular, and he exposed in this book, which is available, by the way, online in a PDF form. You can get Germany Plots with the Kremlin. I don't have the address, but you can Google T.H. Teetons, spelled T-E-T-E-N-S. And the name of the book is Germany Plots with the Kremlin. It gives the whole story of the plan, which we are now seeing in the United States. 55 years after he wrote this book, we're now full-blown seeing the consequences of what Teetons talked about. He talked about the military-industrial complex. He talked about the obfuscation of what is really going on. All they did was create a bunch of wars. In fact, when the Madrid Circular came out in roughly 1950, we were involved in the Korean War, even though we were told that the World War II was the war to end all wars. After that, we had the Vietnamese War, and there were wars springing up all over the planet, just like they are today, because this is how these people make money. Through the wanton, senseless murder of innocent people. They're killing us. They're not killing themselves. Yes, they sacrifice some soldiers, but are soldiers not part of us? Those who think they're fighting these wars for defending the Constitution and defending our freedom. They like to use the word liberty, however. Liberty is a conditional freedom. It's like a weekend pass in the military. They call the freedom the military gets liberty. And they get that on a weekend, and it might be only a couple of hours on a Saturday night or a Sunday afternoon, where they can go into the town, buy products from the locals, intermingle with the women or the men, because we have women in the military. And then they have to be back. They have to be back by a certain time, or they're AWOL. Or they can be court-martialed, or they can be demoted, or they can be imprisoned, or any other manner inconveniences, we'll say. So we have all these different systems that operate. They have their way of controlling how the war machine works, and they have their way of controlling how it works in relation to what we're told about it and the reasons for it. And while this is going on, they're drug smuggling to finance it, and they're building underground bases. So they have a place to escape, and they're drugging us to make us unaware, to keep us in a somnambulistic state or in a state of hypnosis or mind control. So we're unaware of what's going on. And then they bring someone out of nowhere, out of thin air, just like a Federal Reserve note, they bring Barack Obama to run for the presidency. And who is this man, and what is he going to do for us? Well, I can tell you he's tied in to everything that's going on that's affecting all of your lives right now. Every single listener, whether you're listening live or in an archive, and even those of you in the intelligence agencies that are listening to this show right now, you darn well know who Barack Obama is, and if you don't, you haven't done your homework. Because he's not an accident. He's not running for president by accident, and he's not running for president because of any altruistic purpose coming from within his heart. He's playing a role. He's a puppet. He's part of the bloodline, tied to the banks, tied to the oil companies, tied to the pharmaceutical companies, tied to the railroad companies. It's no accident that someone with no qualifications gets to the leadership, or at least is flouted in front of us as someone qualified to be our leader. The leader of what? A group of criminals? oppressing the majority of the population in this country? He's going to be the head crook. And I can tell you right now, there's a piece coming out in the Idaho Observer, written by yours truly, next week, on Barack Obama's background, and you're in for some surprises, because I've been connecting dots, and I've been turning over rocks, going down the rabbit hole, digging up facts, and what I see is the same facts that I see in everyone else. In the last four or five presidents in this country, actually more, you could almost include all of them. They've somehow been involved with the secret societies, the secret brotherhoods, the secret bloodlines, determined to take over the whole planet. And we have an issue of our individual sovereignty under the Creator, given to us, the gift of life given to us by our Creator. We shouldn't have to be victimized by what's going on in these banking scandals. Christopher Story alludes to the Madrid Circular, and in fact, all the evidence rearing its ugly head right now says point blank that Germany and Russia, the head of the so-called disbanded Soviet Union, they're going to create a new Soviet Union if they succeed with this. So the money laundering, all this is being done with money. They're controlling everything. They're controlling your lives through the economic system. And as long as you value an economic system created out of thin air, they're going to win. As long as you value that. What you can do with your money is a big question, because you're talking about an illusion. What are you going to do tangible with an illusion? So we have to wake up and create a new reality. We have opposing forces right now in the universe. And I'm going to be metaphysical just for another 30 seconds or so. You have higher energy that's going to change the consciousness of this planet coming through the Earth. And because of that, there's going to be a clash with the lower, darker energies that are controlling everything on this planet. Now, the result is going to be a shift in consciousness and the creation of a higher state of awareness, productivity, abundance, and a new reality. We are going to awaken from our slumber. I encourage all the listeners to begin awakening now and really observe what is going on with these banking scandals. I'm led to believe, or I'm informed enough, and I think anyone who has been studying in depth what's going on in the world financial community, there are at least 6,000 banks in the U.S. that are going to go under. You've just heard about Bear Stearns, which has been propped up with stolen money, and I know where the money is stolen from, so I know of what I speak. And this IndyMac Bank, you're going to hear about the Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae also being out of money. This is being kept out of the news. And Christopher Story at his worldreports.org has posted that. Also, it's on my website, Direct Light Productions, under news. I encourage all the listeners to go to those two websites. Again, directlightproductions.com. There is a link to Christopher's article, and I posted the article there as well. It's entitled, Confirmed, Two Countries Seeking U.S. Collapse. I'll leave it at that. We're out of time. I want to thank Don Newsom for allowing me to host the TNT Hour every Wednesday at 1. Please tune into my show, Evident Footprints, at 10 p.m. Pacific, 1 a.m. Eastern Time. My guest tonight will be Mr. Winfrey, and we're going to be talking with the Council of the Elohim. I'll see you all next week. Have a great week. Have a great weekend, and peace. Bye now.
Where would $5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.